This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
Commodity Classic was held in San Antonio this past week. Prior to the show, I visited with Terry Wielander, North Dakota Corn Utilization Council Chairman, about his recent trip to Taiwan with the U.S. Grains Council. Now, you were in Taiwan recently with the U.S. Grains Council, part of the Corn Harvest Quality Rollout Program. Some of the objectives of the trip, as I understand, to help local opinion leaders gain familiarity with the results of the 2019-20 corn harvest, a quality report, and also to enhance some of the face-to-face relationships that we have with some of our customers in Taiwan. Terry, your trip and visiting with those customers in Taiwan, such a tough harvest this year. What was the message that you brought to those Taiwanese customers?
Well, I guess they were really concerned what our quality would be. And the corn that we still have standing, because, you know, I kind of told them what had been harvested and what our quality was about there. But and I assured them that this corn, it's natural air drying out the field. It's going to be a quality corn. Yes, it's going to have some test weight issues, but the quality will be good. It's not going to be a moldy corn. It isn't going to be disease pressures or anything. That was their big concern. You know, they just wanted someone to tell them that, you know, the corn that we got left in the field will be okay.
Yeah, and these end users, we want to build up their confidence that we do have a good crop. What we have in the bin already. We also have, of course, ethanol, DDGs. We just need to make sure these customers know that despite the difficult harvest that we may have had, we do have a good product.
Yeah, and that's what I told them too. I said, you know, not every year can be the perfect year. And, you know, the last year we all seen that it was not a fun year, but very challenging year. And as far, you know, to get the harvest off and the quality issues. But I assured them that they said in the last 5 years, you know, go back 3 years, we had some of the best quality corn that we've ever raised in North Dakota. So, you know, I let them know that don't give up on North Dakota corn, you know, just because we had one bad year, and just try to prove to them that, you know, this was just a 1 year fluke, I hope.
You're a good ambassador for the North Dakota corn industry, and I understand that many of the customers over there were curious about your land stewardship practices. And guys like you, the fellows I talk to all the time, we always want to leave the land in better shape than what we were given or where we found it. Some of those discussions, what were they curious about over there?
Well, I guess I one of my slides in my presentation, I had a root dip, and I kind of explained what it was and what we do, and, you know, when we dig a root pit. And it kind of came back as, so what else are you doing? And I said, well, it all started with, I got high salinity on some of my land, and I started working with Abby Wick from NDSU, and really got to learn more about the benefits of reduced tillage and trying to save our topsoil. And it's just, when I relayed that to them, they were so impressed that we care about our land that much. And they were really happy about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, do you have any corn that's still out in the field, Terry?
Yeah, we still got in three different fields, about a total of 160 acres of some stuff we had to leave. But we're hoping that maybe next month here we can get rolling on that. But generally, most people in my area are all done. So just get north and west of us is where we start running into the problem areas.
When you were traveling, now that you're back home, one thing that's been in the headlines has been coronavirus. Do you feel fortunate, Terry, that you were overseas at that time and now you're back home? I know it's kind of an odd question, but it was something that came up when I knew I was going to talk to you. Because, I mean, yeah, ambassador for the industry and having the travel and stuff, but good to be back home and good to be safe and healthy.
Yeah, you know, it sure is. It did cross my mind when everybody started kind of looking at me and asking me, sure you were just in Taiwan? And I was like, yeah. And, And actually, at our Just Grants Council meeting, one of our people that work in China is had to do the mandatory quarantine when they got back to San Francisco, so he wasn't able to make our meeting. But like you said, he's all fine, his wife's fine and everything, but it's just precautionary. But yeah, I feel very fortunate I was in that area before this broke.
Yeah, as an ambassador for the North Dakota corn industry, traveling around, is your service with the U.S. Grains Council, has it been fulfilling? Would you suggest others to follow in your footsteps to volunteer and serve for the industry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even at the state level, I encourage that. But in U.S. Grains Council, it's just to sit on their action teams and be on their action teams and sit in on their big meetings. It's the work they do, the boots on the ground they got all over the world. You know, we were maybe looking at trying to get some more people into Southeast Asia out of my group, just because there's so much potential demand there that we just got to get over there and educate them on, you know, all the benefits of ethanol and educate them on DDGs and corn and then, you know, sorghum and barley, everything we at the U.S. Grains Council we strive to get traded with all these other countries. And you know, there's India, Indonesia, Vietnam, there's so many big opportunities over there if we can get on their doorstep and they've opened the door for us.
Yeah, we're visiting on February 17th, and Commodity Classic is right around the corner, and the president, as I understand, is going to go over to India. There's talk of a partial trade deal with that country, and we've just installed that phase one trade deal with China. There is so much opportunity for ethanol and DGGs in that region. It's an exciting time to be representing the industry. You've got to be excited.
Oh, certainly. It's such a big opportunity that, you know, the middle classes are starting to get bigger in these countries, and, you know, such a high population density. You know, and you know, if we could get in there with ethanol, that would be huge for this country.
How long have you been farming, Terry?
Oh, I started in 1996. Would have been my first year when I first rented my first quarter of land.
Okay, so you've seen and you understand trade deals such as NAFTA, which we just revamped into USMCA, another wonderful opportunity for the North Dakota corn industry and corn growers through the country, because Mexico, for example, one of our biggest customers just to the south.
Yeah, Mexico is our number one corn buyer, and, you know, that potential there is so great too, because, you know, their livestock industry is getting bigger. You know, there was talks when I was down there about 3 years ago that there was one farrowing operation that had about 75,000 head that they were farrowing and wanted to double that operation. And about, I was like, it was this summer, I heard that they did get that doubled. So just that's that many more mouths that, you know, we got to help feed down there. And you know, I like, it's so nice to ship our corn to Mexico. It's just quick and easy and down the rail and or the port. But it's such a huge potential for us that there too. It seems to be growing every day.
Again, that is Terry Wielander, North Dakota Corn Utilization Council Chairman. I also visited prior to Commodity Classic with Kendall Nichols, Director of Research with the North Dakota Soybean Council. Many growers are losing hundreds of dollars to SCN, and the trait that could help remains stubbornly scarce. Ken, you and I have talked many times over the years about SCN and how it can rob growers of yield, and oftentimes we don't know that it's even in our fields. But as we've talked before, there is a free program where growers can have their soil tested and can be alerted to whether or not they do have this problem in their fields.
Yes, we do. The North Dakota Soybean Council has teamed up with the North Dakota Extension Service and Dr. Sam Markell, and we have a free SCN sampling program. You can go to your county agent. They have the bags. You have to use the bags from the county agent that have the seals on them. Go out to your field, and what we encourage you to do is look at sites where if you haven't had it diagnosed on your field, look at sites that is most readily most likely to be on like entrance sites, low spots, along shelter belts. Pull core samples there. They try and get some of the roots of the soybeans, preferably in the fall, August, or the spring, depending on if you're going to be putting soybeans back into the field. And pull that sample, send it in, and you will get the results at no cost to you. And then a copy of the results, but you're not your name, is sent to Dr. Sam Markell, and he makes a nice, pretty map with, unfortunately, some bright colors on there showing soybean cysts and nematode levels anywhere from zero to thousands, up 10, 20,000 in the worst case scenarios. But anything 5,000 is not a good sign.
Yeah.
And we want to keep this pest at bay.
Yeah, and knowing you have the problem, just knowing what's going on, that's half the battle. But Ken, do we have resistant varieties? Are we losing resistance in some of our varieties? How's that battle going?
Well, it is a battle, and that explains it perfectly. In Iowa, they are losing the battle because now a number of varieties, number of soybean fields have cysts that are resistant to the PI-8878 resistance that are put into the soybean varieties. And even here in North Dakota, especially in southeastern North Dakota, we are seeing some varieties that exhibit, that are shown to be resistant, are having some problems controlling soybean cyst nematode. But a resistant variety still is your best bet, and look for resistance that is proven in your area. So I would not just buy one resistant variety. If I'm trying to find resistant varieties, I might buy two or three and see which one performs the better.
Okay. Are some of the numbers a little bit deceiving because some of the same varieties may be marketed by different companies under different names and different product numbers? So that means the actual number of unique soybean varieties with resistance could be lower than we currently think?
I think it is lower than what we currently think, because one variety that is exactly the same, as you say, may be sold by a couple different companies that have purchased the right to sell that variety, sell it under a different name, and you think you're getting a different resistance, and it might be the same. So check that out, too, and make sure that, try and make sure the best you can that, that we're getting some different varieties out in the field.
Yeah, if growers have questions, they can talk to their agronomist, or certainly reach out to you and the folks at the North Dakota Soybean Council. We've got the Commodity Classic coming up in San Antonio. Some farm management workshops, I understand, going to be on the docket that you're looking forward to. What are you expecting, Ken?
Well, you know, they start right off on Thursday morning with a couple of sessions that look like pretty interesting. On Thursday morning at 7 a.m., there's one that says How to Profit from Chaos, Strategies for a New Marketing World.
That is our world.
That is our world. You know, from day to day or week to week or maybe hour to hour, things are changing. And you know, we used to be able to depend on our outlet to the Pacific Northwest, and with the China market changing, and we work diligently trying to open up new markets. So it is something that we need to do. Another one is farm management strategies in times of rising volatility, and you know, Dr. Frayne Olson and others here do a wonderful job, but it's nice to get another perspective on what is going on. Farm management is one of the areas that you may pick up some helpful hints from at Commodity Classic.
Yeah, absolutely. And always we want to remind growers that the North Dakota Soybean Council and their checkoff dollars, always working to make the industry more profitable, always trying to find new markets, a home for these beans. Because as you said, sometimes things change and they can be chaotic.
Yes, I don't know about you, but I get enough chaos in my life without people adding to it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right, Ken. Well, I thank you for your time today, and I hope we have a chance to meet up on the sidelines of Commodity Classic. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
It's great visiting with you, Rusty.
Okay. You take care, Ken. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, bye. Again, that's Kendall Nichols, Director of Research with the North Dakota Soybean Council. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. I'm Sabrina Hill for Rusty Halverson and myself. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.